Welcome to the Influential Women Podcast, the podcast where we chat to some inspiring women. This is Nikki Bannerman, and my influential woman today is Jo North. Thank you so much for your time, Jo.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Nikki. I'm really looking forward to talking to you.
Oh, pleasure. Dr. Jo North is an Oxford academic and gained a PhD at York on entrepreneurship and innovation, and is the founder and managing director of a coaching consultancy that specialises in helping businesses with their transformation and with their creativity, confidence and self-belief. So, Jo, the million-dollar question, how have you been spending the last few years? Have you been okay?
Yes, I have been okay, thank you. It's been a really strange time, hasn't it? And I've actually been busier than ever. So busy on two fronts. So the first front was actually pivoting my own business because I do a lot of speaking, a lot of events and executive development, all that sort of thing around innovation, which has, you know, traditionally meant me being in person with rooms full of people all over the world. So I've pivoted all of that to go much more online. And also what I've been doing is helping businesses of all sizes, from small businesses through to big corporates, to learn, you know, how to work online and how to innovate and how to connect in the online environment and wow. How to pivot some of their products and services too. So it's been a really busy time.
Gosh, I can imagine. I mean, you know, you've had to be innovative yourself. Literally all of us have had to remain strong and positive. The whole world has been a challenge for all of us, and keep smiling is really what we have to do, because we have no choice, do we? And your coaching skills probably help you with your own ideas and vision for yourself, not only business-wise, but personally every day. Does that help you in terms of feeling good about yourself and having some degree of positivity in this crazy world?
Yeah, so my skills are really around supporting innovation and growth and helping people and their businesses go to new places and achieve goals. And I do that in a very commercial way. So as part of that, as part of the innovator mindset, the world's always changing. And we've had significant change, obviously, and an anticipated change, I think, certainly from the beginning with COVID. But regardless of that, the world is always changing in small, medium-sized ways anyway. The innovator is really, I think it's a bit about like having a mind like water, where we've got to, you know, read the changes, go with the flow and think about what next. So we're continuously problem solving forward and looking at where things are going and how we can be relevant, because we're all in business to help somebody with a problem somewhere. As the world changes, then people's problems change. So we've got to stay relevant and think about how we can best support our customers, stakeholders and teams and so on.
Definitely. But in terms of your own skills, do you have a mentor and a coach? You know, because even people like Richard Branson have their own coach. You know, people look at them as though they know everything. But it's important for everybody to have somebody to go to, isn't it? Do you have a mentor yourself?
I do actually, and I have a few for different things. So I've learned to self-mentor and self-coach and really think about how I'm talking to myself on a day-to-day basis and the stories I'm telling myself, you know, and how that's stacking up. So I've learned how to do that, because I think also when you're mentoring and coaching others, it's important to be mentorable and coachable yourself.
Yes, very much. So
I work with a really great psychological coach called Sarah, and I work with other business mentors as well. So people with a certain area of expertise or a philosophy on life that
brilliant.
I find.
To sort of check in with yourself, because we've had to, as you say, we've had to learn to adapt, reacclimatize, look at our environment. Self-talk has been massive because we've lived so much in our own heads, haven't we? And we keep thinking, gosh, I'm being mean to myself again or whatever. But self-soothe as well, I think we've had to learn in terms of, okay, we are isolated. We're spending a lot of time on our own, in our own heads. What are we going to do about it? How are we going to actually cope? And finding some joy in every day. That's my new strategy, because we can't plan very far ahead. And I'm a massive planner, as you probably are. And it's literally just planning more for today, which is what children do all the time. And it works much better, doesn't it? Because everything changes. We're all doing our best, aren't we?
Yeah, and I think a great life is full of, you know, millions and millions of magical micro moments, and putting all those together, you know, and that can be as simple as, you know, I've got a French bulldog. Well, I think I belong to him, actually. I think it's that way around.
Yes.
But just, you know, taking him on the beach, getting some fresh air and getting out there and just enjoying the moment, I think is really important as well amongst all this busyness. And I think we've learned a lot more about that. And many of us have really reevaluated our priorities, haven't we, as a result of all of this?
And even my teenagers, I mean, you know, they seem to take photos of themselves all the time to communicate as a quick communication of the emotion that they're feeling with their faces. But they don't take selfies. And I had this discussion with them the other day saying, let's take a selfie of this beautiful moment. They're saying, no, you shouldn't take a selfie because you should just be in that moment, you know, like the book, The Power Is Now. And they said, you're not being in the now if you're taking a photo of what you're looking at. Whereas adults always take a photo of it to remember it. But maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we should just stand there and, as you say, the magical micro moments. That's what it's about, finding the joy, isn't it? I say to people, you know, try and find snatches of joy in the small things, because that's really where we do get our happiness, isn't it? It does come from inside. It's not that external validation. And that's what we're all learning, you know, good and bad have come out of this. And with the world pivoting and everyone going online, as you say, everyone working from home, ever changing, we've all had to leapfrog, literally become more dynamic, innovative, think differently. So how do we entice people to get more creative when they are literally stuck and not knowing how to progress? But is there a sort of, without giving away all your secrets, is there a sort of quick fix to getting creative?
Yeah, and I don't mind sharing secrets, actually, because I think secrets, you know, I'm on a mission to help people be more creative and innovative. The first thing about getting creative is to appreciate that you are creative. We are all creative. We demonstrate it in different ways. And the number of people who come on programs or events, you know, I run, you know, I work on real life innovation from everything from the nuclear sector to retailers to all sorts of financial services, all sorts of different businesses. And that they'll tell themselves they're not creative. So the first thing is that you are. You express it in your unique way. And we're all creative geniuses. We've got more neurons than there are stars in the Milky Way in our brain, you know. And it's just about making connections. It's about joining the dots. And it's about stepping back and seeing things differently. And actually, that's why those magical micro moments actually help our creative performance and our problem solving performance when we do come to work. You know, they take our brain in different directions, which means we're more productive when we are at work. So one really good tip, and this has been supported by a number of studies, is to put the challenge into your mind. So take in any data, information, or, you know, do some reading around it. Think about what is the key thing you're trying to solve, and then just leave it. And if you can, sleep on it, go for a walk and do something completely different, because what will happen is your creative subconscious will be working on it in the background. If you try and force the thinking too much, then what you're using then is your analytical and logical brain, and your brain's got gatekeepers that will restrict the amount of data you let into your thinking process. Whereas if you're relaxed and you're doing something like having a shower or going for a jog or in the gym or something like that, your brain's relaxed and you've got access to all those neurons and all that data that you've acquired.
That's so true, actually, because I love swimming and I try and go, you know, at least four times a week. And actually, I read the other day that it said it's the brilliant trifecta, because it's meditative, it's alone time and thinking time. And obviously it's exercise and pheromones and feeling good about yourself. And some of my greatest ideas come to me when you're just thinking, as you say, problem solving and relaxed and happy and in your sort of little happy place. Yes, as you say, we can all be creative, help others get off the ground, change direction. So you've said you put a plan into action as a creative process, join the dots, as you say. It's not called brainstorming anymore, is it? I don't think we're allowed to say brainstorming anymore.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. I mean, it's and you're right, it is it is a form of brainstorming, but we're doing it naturally. Yeah. And actually, when we work with others, what's happening is creativity is individual. the group doesn't think creatively, but when we're in a group, we're bouncing individually off the creativity of others when that's expressed out loud.
Yes.
And some of us work really, really well in that sort of extroverted group creative dynamic. And others, we need to go away and sit more quietly and be more reflective.
Yes.
And people are different, you know. Well, so
probably the extroverts and the introverts, and you know, probably people trying to impress the other people by coming up with the best idea or whatever as well. I mean, you're really helping make the business world a better place with the growth that they didn't obviously know that was there. And thank goodness companies and staff were supported financially previously and potentially maybe again. Any sort of tips for small businesses, because they've been through such a roller coaster. Some of them have pivoted beyond belief, and certainly in hospitality, it's been really innovative, hasn't it? And pubs and restaurants, and they've made incredible, enjoyable eating social spaces outside, which is really fun. And retail to suddenly pivot and deliver home delivery with indulgent experiences, afternoon tea cakes, and, you know, luxurious things to pamper ourselves.
Yeah. So I've been working with, I mean, pre-lockdown as well. So pre, you know, COVID, but especially through the COVID period that we've been in, with actually the universities of York and the University of Lancaster and others, and on programs to help small businesses innovate and grow. And some tips really are about taking time to sort of step back and do that problem solving. You know, when you're in it, when it's your business, it's really personal, and it's something you've built. And I've seen some very raw emotion through these last couple of years, and understandably so. And it's about allowing yourself to sort of feel that and then move through it and say, okay, so what are we going to do next? How are we going to problem solve through this? And really be agile. And as you've said, the going online, home deliveries for restaurants, gin companies pivoting to make sanitizer, some clothing companies pivoting to make face masks.
Yes.
Some amazing, amazing examples of that. And I think there's a lot of lessons to be learned from that in terms of what we actually can achieve,
yes,
you know,
when we
put together our minds to it.
No, you're right. And, you know, I think that raw emotion is because their business is the only thing they know. And it's really heartfelt, isn't it? Really troubling. Mm. And how people have suffered. It's just very traumatic. So if anyone's got a new business or a new project idea, something that they've always wanted to do their whole life, and they think, oh, for goodness sake, sod it, now's the time to do it, because if not now, when? What do they do then to get their minimum viable product? I think you've noted before.
Yeah. So a minimum viable product is the smallest thing you can do possible to test your idea and to get some customer feedback. And I think, you know, I've seen a lot of this, people saying, actually, now's the time. I've had the time to think about it. I've had time to develop my thinking on the idea and decide whether or not it's for me, and I'm going to go for it. There's been a lot of that, hasn't there, coming out of as we come through.
We've all got more entrepreneurial, haven't we, in terms of thinking we can do this.
Yeah. Yeah. And also about what we want to do, and we want to do something that's meaningful. And we've had time to sit back and a little bit more and reflect on that.
Yes.
So the first thing to do really is to think about, what is your value proposition? Who is your idea helping, and how is it helping them? How is it helping them in a way that nobody else helps them? How is it helping them in a way that's super useful? And that's called the value proposition. So we hear that a lot in business. And all that means really is your compelling promise of what you're going to offer. So think about what that is. And it needs to be really succinct. And people need to be able to get it in, you know, in a moment or two. And I think it's also about not just solving a problem, but making sure that your innovation, your business, your idea appeals to people on an emotional level as well, because it's got to do what it says on the tin. It's got to do the thing. And we all buy based on emotion rather than logic. So we might want to buy something to make us feel comfortable or happy or, you know, drop dead gorgeous or whatever it is. We're buying to generate some sort of feeling in ourselves. And that's true business to business as well as consumer buying. So think about that and then test it. don't create in a vacuum or in an echo chamber. You need people's ideas, you need input to shape it. So don't strive for perfection. Put the MVP, the minimum viable product or minimum viable proposition out there. Test it, learn, go again. Test it, learn, and go again.
Yes, keep modifying it until they get what they need. And also, I think people have let go of egos and prepared to try things. It's no longer about their identity, is it? Because all of us have changed. Actually, whatever makes you happy, whatever works now, whatever you want to try, it's great, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about having a growth mindset. And a growth mindset means that we don't see failure as failure. We see it as learning. We see it as information. And we see it as data to help us move forward. It's not about getting the right answer. And it's about getting stuff that will take us forward, you know, getting insight that will move us. So we're always in beta because we can always, technically, anything can always be better than it is today.
That's so true. But not to try and be a perfectionist, otherwise you don't get started and then you get a bit stuck, don't you? And
that's right. Yeah.
So with people now working from home, multiple locations, how can people work as a team more effectively? Because online, it's so much harder, isn't it, to wait until they finish talking and to see how they're really feeling. And we lose a lot of that three-dimensional sort of emotive energy, really, don't we? Is it better or worse now? Or does it change the recruiting?
Yeah, it swings and roundabouts, I think, in terms of better or worse. The thing I miss most about being face-to-face with people or groups are those conversations over a cup of coffee in the break. You know, it's very hard to organically engineer those into an online forum or an online meeting. Yeah. But what online has done, and I've been working online again before COVID, but it brings teams from around the world together. It connects people globally in different locations.
True.
And I think we can use, instead of just turning up and having a meeting when we're in a group, is have a purpose and do some really creative activities in that meeting. So I use tools like virtual whiteboards where everybody can collaborate at the same time. Zoom has got one, but I actually use another. There are others like Mural or Miro. They're all great. I use online quizzes and polling tools and word cloud creators. And also sometimes we'll just turn the camera off and use, you know, the sound off and scribble with a paper and pen and then come back and see what we've all got afterwards.
Yes,
so using mixed media.
Yes,
yeah,
of course. That's a good idea. And that helps people collaborate, doesn't it, in terms of, you know, getting different people together? Because when you mix different ages, different genders, different race, different thinking, it pushes everyone to the limit and you come up with a better result, don't you? It's been proven.
Yeah. And when it gets tough and when people aren't, you know, all seeing things the same way, that's when the magic is about to happen.
Yes.
And instead of backing off from that creative tension, keep working through it, you know, keep finding your way through it and something great will happen on the other side. And I think, you know, make it playful as well. I mean, if I'm running an online program or innovation sprint or something like that, I'll have everybody doing something at least every 10 minutes because this is the challenge, of doing things online, is that it's like watching telly. It can be quite passive and we just sit there and have it
exactly
in the background.
Yes. Yeah. But you're not allowed to fall asleep like you are in conferences because literally you've got a camera on you, haven't you? It's kind of surreal. But talking of collaboration, I must introduce you to my brother, James Bannerman. He's also an author and a professor that specialises in innovation consulting. So I'll link you two up together. It's collaboration. How about that?
I love that. You know, true innovators love to collaborate and meet others because all sorts of great things happen.
Well, they spark off each other. And I can see it, you know, now in terms of different skills and whatever, thinking, yes, go you guys, because innovation is definitely the future, isn't it? You were both, you know, the visionaries of the future, of knowing that's what people would need before the world went like this. So you started your business, the Big Bang Partnership, 11 years ago, not inspired by the 1986 stock market name, I assume. And what made you start up with that?
So I was in the corporate world. I was actually deputy managing director of a really big train company. You know, I was on that career. You know, the next step would have been MD. That was where I was heading. That was agreed in my personal development plan and all of that good stuff. And there was just one Sunday, and I was at my mum's. My mum lives in Skegness, and I was just thinking, I don't want to go to work tomorrow. I just don't want to go to work. And there wasn't anything bad going off. It just, at the time, I'd done my MBA whilst working full time. I'd done it part time through the Open University. And I'd started my PhD because I did all of that as an adult whilst working full time. So my PhD took me 6 years.
A lot of work.
Yeah. While I was doing director level jobs in transport and all of that. So huge amount of work. And I went home and said to my lovely husband, John, and daughter, what would you say if I resigned tomorrow? And they said, about blooming time.
Really? So they could see it before you could.
But yeah, and I'd been talking about having my own business and wanting to do, consultancy and all of that for a long time. But the thing is, I suppose we've got more to lose. That, you know, the more advanced we get in our career, we tell ourselves that, well, I've got all of this, I've got a great job, I'm on a six-figure salary, I've got all these bonuses and benefits and
it's
things.
It's fear, isn't it? Fear is sort of love.
Yeah.
And I've decided that's the two mindsets. It's either fear-based or love-based, isn't it? And that's the thing.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, I just literally resigned, and they were great. They tried to encourage me to stay, but my mind was made up, and I haven't looked back since.
So yeah. have you learned anything about yourself or life in lockdown personally?
Yes, I have. I think it's really distills some of the things I want to achieve going forward. And that's about actually writing more, publishing more, you know, sharing more. And having more great conversations. I think it's about being a little bit more discerning in terms of some of the things that I do. It's really got to bring me some joy. And I love a good challenge. You know, I love things I can really get my teeth into, and that I'm going to think, so how am I going to do this? So I love that. And it's really the common denominator is working with great people who want to do great things. They're not just always sure how or what that looks like specifically, but they know there's potential in there, and it's about finding that together, which is exciting, isn't it?
It is, and that's the people you obviously look up to. But in terms of the Influential Women podcast, we chat to women about their work, their life, their influences, their mantras, but about any adversity they've overcome. And by listening to that, it sometimes helps other people who are listening with, you know, minor setbacks in their life or massive monumental challenges. Just something that people say, or some tips or wisdom or what they've been through, can often help us actually change our own day or mindset or our own life. So is there any adversity that you'd like to discuss that you've struggled with?
Yeah, and I think because talking to other women, I think for different reasons they experience elements of this too, although in different ways. So there's always been a part of me that has felt like I don't deserve the success. So I've worked really, really hard. I've excelled academically. I was the first person to go to uni from our family, and I had quite happy and, you know, lovely beginnings, but quite humble beginnings. You know, I did my degree at Oxford and didn't collect my degree certificate and go through the ceremony until my 40s because
I read that.
I just
why
didn't...
was that then? Imposter syndrome.
Yeah, I think it was. I just really didn't feel like I'd earned that, and that wasn't for me, which is very odd. And then actually having the ceremony and doing all of that, you know, putting a gown on and getting the certificate was great, because then it clicked that actually I had earned this and I did deserve it. I had earned it. And a lot of that for me has been connected with weight. So from the age of 8, I've had a continuing battle up and down with weight. And I must have lost and gained the same 3 million stone sort of over and over again. But it's serious. You know, and what I'd say to people is I've realised that actually it doesn't matter what you look like, who you are. It's what you contribute. It's what you bring that really matters. It's the energy that you have, and it's the difference that you make. And you know, if you come to things with great intention, you want to do great work, you want to do good stuff with other people, then that's what matters. And don't let all the other stuff stop you. And I think the more role models that we have of people of all different shapes, sizes, backgrounds, and how people, you know, look and behave, and is great, because definitely, you know, success is for everybody. There's no magic ingredient to success other than great intention and putting in the work and being brave sometimes.
Definitely. Well, I mean, thank you for sharing that, because, you know, body image and positive body image is really important, particularly, you know, through lockdown. We've all sought our comforts, and rightly so, you know, in terms of we've had to cope in some way. And imposter syndrome affects so many women and men too, you know, more and more so now. People do need to feel enough. And a lot of the advertising, I've interviewed a trauma counsellor on previous episode in lockdown one, actually. I switched from incredibly high level business people to mindfulness Buddhist coaches and trauma counsellors and a lady that had been in prison, things, because people's emotions were so raw. And she said a lot of the advertising tells people that they're not worth it, or they're not good enough, or unless they buy this product. So I think we just have to be really mindful of we're being sold to in that way, and that actually we are enough, as you say, you know, as long as we're kind, and confidence that comes across in being who you are and being proud of who we are in the shape of everything that everyone's been through in the world. It's all very shallow to worry about what we're wearing and what we look like and whatever, really, isn't it? Because it's about how we're feeling.
It is, and it's really good sometimes to look up at the stars on a clear night, or to look out on the horizon over the sea, and you know, just think about that and just reflect on that. And we're not here for very long, so don't let all that frivolous, you know, superficial stuff stop us from making the difference that we want to make. You know, and I work a lot with I help companies with their graduate programs to help new graduates really get into the work environment, but contribute to that innovation. They've got fresh perspectives and different skills and great energy.
Such intelligence and, you know, and really on it in terms of the technical side. And that's what all companies are seeking. You know, that's what I say to mine, you know, my daughter and her friends are all at university. You know, that's what the companies want. They want all these skills.
Absolutely. And it's about them not necessarily trying to fit in with anything. It's about bringing themselves, being themselves, and developing their career based on who they are, and really being aware of their strengths, building the strengths, you know, not just shoring up the development areas, and as they're so called, but actually what you're really good at.
This amazing article you're talking about, wanting to fit in, talking about imposter syndrome as well. I read an article, Brené Brown, who I love, in Psychology's magazine this month. She talked about how we should never compare ourselves to others, because obviously it's the road to unhappiness, isn't it? But she said it's comparison is us trying to simultaneously fit in, but also to win. And I thought, gosh, that's a really interesting perspective, because it just leads us to feel fear, anger, shame, and sadness, because we've got the upward comparison makes us feel not enough, and the downward makes us feel more superior, which makes other people feel inferior and therefore not enough. So neither makes us feel great. Being that self-aware, particularly now, isn't it? Because we're all so fragile and so sort of oversensitive that we could say something that could just tip someone over the edge, literally, couldn't we, virtually?
Yeah, and I think that's really important as well, from is that we never truly know what's going on for somebody else.
Exactly. You said when you collected your degree that you didn't feel you deserved it because the other students were from a more privileged background. Because weren't you brought up in a caravan somewhere? Where was that, and how did that come about?
Yeah, so I grew up in a single parent family. Mum was a primary school teacher, and so, you know, really loved, and we were okay. We didn't have a lot, but it wasn't, you know, really bad either. And I was born in Derby, and we moved to Skegness in Lincolnshire, which is a seaside town in the UK. because mum wanted to be by the sea and the education was better there. So yes, we moved in a caravan for quite a while, and it wasn't one of those sort of long square or oblong caravans. It was one of the little touring caravans that you drive around with. So, and then I went to Oxford, and there were all sorts of people there that had, you know, some of them quite a lot of money and amazing experiences already. And it really hit me from an imposter syndrome point of view that what am I doing here? You know, this is out of my league.
I would have thought it's the other way around, that you just think, how proud would your mum be? How proud should you be of yourself to have actually gone from that amazing caravan that, incidentally, everyone is wanting one of those, particularly now, to take life on the road and enjoy those experiences. So you were really ahead of the game. Your mum was doing an amazing job, living by the sea, getting the best education she could. Good for her and brilliant for you. From there to Oxford and look at you now. But everyone is wanting that sort of life where you can take life on the road and just enjoy life more. So many people have done that.
It's and it's so possible, isn't it, with the digital reach that we can have. We can literally do all sorts of things from anywhere, and we could be more flexible about how we manage our time.
Definitely. Brilliant. So which strong men or women have inspired you in your life then?
Oh, so in terms of inspiration, I'm going to say David Bowie.
Yes, love him. Is it Bowie or Bowie? I never know. I always have that eternal debate with everybody.
Yes, same here, so apologies. But I think
say Bowie as well.
I think just that radical creativity and intentional standing out, you know, the guts that it takes to... And that said, in his environment and in his world at that time, if he hadn't stood out, then he wouldn't have had the success. But it's really having that sort of gumption, charisma, and guts to do that. And I try and channel more of my inner Bowie more often.
Yes, good idea.
Not quite there.
Bowie out. And that fashioned hair and, you know, just really out there. And brilliant talent as well. Gosh, and so missed. He was incredible, wasn't he? So passions. Do you have time for any hobbies?
I do. So I love all things Spanish. I love the Spanish language. I love all things Spanish. So my first degree was modern languages, French and Spanish. And I particularly love Spanish. I adore my French bulldog. We are soulmates. And he's so good for mental health as well, because, you know, he brings you into the moment and just always generally perky or asleep. And I do mixed media art, so I'm not a great artist, but I love the process of just creating and relaxing. Yeah.
So both sides of your left and right brain are really active.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've got the logical, analytical, and the highly creative as well. Amazing.
Well, it's whole brain thinking. And I think, you know, it's really important that we look after our whole brain. And there, it's great to do Sudoku and crossword puzzles and those sorts of things. And we need to look after the creative side as well, and doing things like art. In fact, any creative pastime helps us to do that. So it's important.
Brilliant. I've taken up sort of evening art. And I'm actually, you know, a disaster compared with everyone else in the group that does it. But I didn't do it for that. I did it for the fact that 12 people get together in an outdoor sort of building and just paint something. And it's really mindfulness, you know, for 2 hours. It just flies by. And more people should do stuff like that, shouldn't they? Something that just brings you back, centres you, really.
It's great when people get engaged in something that's artistic or creative, whatever it is. And just enjoy doing it. Don't judge the outcome. Just enjoy the process of creation.
Exactly. It's about the journey, isn't it? That's what we need to say to ourselves. So do you have a mantra for living your life?
I think go for it, actually. And have a go. I've done all sorts of things. So throughout my career, I've moved from having a modern languages degree. I then was an accountant for a while and did some training around that. And then I moved into HR and then sales and marketing. So I've sort of acquired different learning, and I just think keep learning. And one of the criteria, actually, in terms of whether or not I'll accept a new project is the challenge. So yes, can I bring my experience to bear? And also, what can I learn? How is this going to challenge me and how is this going to help me grow? I think that's really important.
Definitely, because I think a lot of people have taken up learning something online, haven't they? They might not have finished it, me included, because it's a stop-start life that we still have, isn't it? But just to have taken something else up and think, I'll give it a try, I'll come back to it, I'll do that, you know, when I get a bit more time or whatever. It's just try something new, as you say. Which So your next goal, new book.
So I've got a new book, which is just sort of being edited and refined, refreshed.
Oh, wow, so you've done it already.
Yeah, so that's the Creative Facilitators Handbook. So it's how do you facilitate innovation and bringing people together to harness that collective wisdom and creativity and experience to come up with something great together. How do you do that?
Brilliant.
So that's and then I've got all sorts of projects that I want to start, but that's and some more writing on the way as well in 2022.
Brilliant.
And beyond. Yeah,
so brilliant. Good start for 2022 coming up. So thank you so much. So lastly, what key message would you give to inspire and influence businesses and women or men listening out there to help them with their lives as we try and re-emerge and carrying on smiling? What would you say to keep them going?
I'd say keep innovating, keep growing. You can absolutely do this. Find like-minded people and remember, mind like water. The world's always going to be changing. So just be really agile and flexible and go with it and enjoy the process as much as you can.
Thank you so much. Thanks for your time. Thanks for sharing your amazing work. It's been lovely to chat to you today, Jo. Thank you for helping us feel more positive about creativity, about being more entrepreneurial and more hopeful in this surreal and challenging world, and staying positive and in the moment and going for it. Thank you so much. The Influential Women's Podcast is founded, hosted and exec produced by Nikki Bannerman and edited by assistant producer Dulcie Godfrey. Please keep listening for more Influential Women on previous episodes and kindly share messages on our social channels or through our website at www.theinfluentialwomenpodcast.com. Thanks so much, Jo. Lovely to chat to you today.
You too.